You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's just past 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with our sponsor, Jeremy Finn from Harry Humans Garden Center. Good morning, Jeremy, and welcome back.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we're going to miss David, but sadly he can't make it, but you are here.
Yes, David's here. Running around like a crazy, crazy thing again.
He said it's crazy November, he said.
Yeah, I'm also feeling it. I'm also feeling it. But yes.
And it's good. It's good.
Yeah, you know, we needed good. It. Yes, we needed everything to be busy. I think everyone needs
I think
some
the wind
busyness.
Is the wind is blowing it your way. Right? They're blowing everybody to you.
I don't know about that, but we were still busy this weekend, even with the wind. The wind was pretty crazy.
That's what I'm saying. No one knew what to do, but let's go to Garden Center. So our topic this morning is a general
okay. What to do in the garden in November. Yeah. Just this wind. Talking about this wind is a bit, takes us into the first thing that we always talk about.
Yeah. How do you plant anything in this wind?
Well, it's difficult because of dries everything out and just doesn't make make nice for new plants.
Yes.
But
I like that. But
you can still do it. You have to make sure that you do water and keep something moist but not soggy. And if it's a sensitive plant to the wind, then you're going to have to put some sort of wind barrier. And we've talked about this before, but
yes, we have.
Like a nice shade cloth on with stakes or something like that, just to break the brunt of that southeaster coming through.
And some plants need this wind, don't they? They do need some plants. Need the wind.
The wind also strengthens plants.
Yes,
definitely. Because if they don't have, because that's what often happens. Well, not often, but sometimes you get plants that have been grown in an environment that is just not good enough in terms of making them ready for outdoor conditions.
Yes.
So let's say they're grown in a hothouse or a tunnel or something like that, and they don't have that chance to harden off. Because people sometimes don't want to harden plants off because then they don't look as good because they've been exposed to the elements. But ideally, what should happen is that most of the shrubs and stuff should go from an area where they, germinate from seed or they're made from cuttings and they're grown for a few months and then they put into an area where they're getting a little bit of the full sun and they're getting the wind as well, because it's obviously strengthens everything. And then when it comes to the garden center, then I have it for a little while and exposed to the elements a bit, and then it goes into your garden and then it's got a better chance because it's not,
Nature's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's got to have a bit of strengthening to it just to make sure that it can handle, especially in our area with the wind. But just on that, definitely check your watering. I know it's difficult because water is expensive, but if you do have things that have shallow roots or need regular water, you're going to notice if they start drooping, and then those are going to have to get more water.
And I know you've mentioned before, but watering should morning or evening?
Morning.
Morning, definitely.
Morning mostly.
Morning. Yeah.
And if you need to do twice a day, then I would say, late afternoon. But ideally, early morning is best, because then you have you don't have any problems with fungus things happening in the night. Sometimes if that soil stays too wet or too moist, then you can, get like a root rot or even just another sort of rust or something if the water stays on the leaves too much.
Yes.
So ideally early morning. Good soaking. You don't want to do shallow watering. So, like a little sprinkle here and a little sprinkle there.
Yes.
Rather do every second or third day, but like a deep watering. So you make sure that each plant gets enough water. So you're not just buzzing past with your hose pipe or something, and then, things don't get enough water, or they get surface watering, so they don't put down the deep roots. So it's ideal that you, get the plants to go and try and hit the water table or all that sort of stuff. But yeah, the other thing that we've talked about so many times is the mulch.
Yes, you have.
Definitely a good idea. If you haven't got mulch on your beds now, just get something in. And the mulch is the wood chip, the bark nuggets,
yes,
the peach pips. We had some oak chip, and I just can't get it at the moment. The oak chip is coming from a company. I don't know if I've told you this story, but there's a company in Capricorn. And what they do is they process old oak barrels. And when I say process, they shred them.
I would. Okay.
And then they use a special technique to extract the oak extract from these oak chips. And then the extract is in some sort of liquid form. And then that gets shipped all over the world. I think mostly to do with, you know, these days you can buy a whiskey that's like 1 year old.
Yes, yes.
But then they add some of this oak extract to as if it's been in the barrel for like 10 years.
For years, yes. Yeah.
So you know, you can get the proper ones which are oak matured.
Yes.
I'm not a whiskey or, you know, I don't know anything about this world. But apparently, you know, if it's in the barrel for longer, it picks up all these different notes and all sorts of other funny things that go on. But when you can't reproduce that, what you can do is reproduce it in a different way, more...
Which they have done.
Which they have done. And they take an oak extract and you add it to the mix
This is very interesting. So you had this in stock.
Yes. So what happens is like... So the after the process, the oak is left. I mean, the oak chips are there. They haven't gone anywhere. But they're like a byproduct. And obviously that still has potential as a mulch.
Yeah.
So I had it bagged up. And the nice thing about it is very uniform. And it all, you know, it looks
and
the same.
And your customers were happy.
You see, I get them in these, like, you know, those big grain sacks. I don't know, those flour sacks.
Yes.
So that's how they do it. They process it through their machines, and then they put it into these big sacks, and then that's how it arrives. Right. So I've been getting like four at a time.
And is that how you're selling it, in the sack?
No.
We've been
taking it from the sacks, and then we're putting them into bags,
okay,
like a 20-liter bag, just to make it more manageable. But, yeah, so I've been buying, when it's available, I buy like four sacks. So that makes a lot of bags.
And is it the same process as the other mulch or the others?
Yeah, it's just a different look.
Yes.
As I said, it's a smallish chip, and then it's also very uniform because it's only oak. Whereas like a wood chip or a bark nugget, you get big pieces, small pieces. You know, there's random bits and pieces in there. You know, the wood chip is not only pine wood, there's some of the bark mixed in. So it's not the same look as the wood chip mulch. So if you want a very particular looking thing, I know I'm talking about this and I can't even sell it to you, but
you did sell it. So
yes.
are they just so busy and sending it overseas?
Because of how the process works, I think they, when the factory has to run, they do a whole lot. And then there's all this excess available, and then it's available for me.
Yes.
But if they've got enough, I don't know how long they produce, or it depends on, I suppose, the demand for it overseas.
I was going to say it must be a huge demand.
Yeah. Well, when there's demand is there, then they produce. If the demand's not there, then they don't. I don't know if it's their only business. I think they extract, you know, they do other things.
Yeah.
But the oak is not, it's not like consistent. And that's what's a little bit frustrating because, you know, you put the product on the shelf.
And you're happy. And you were very happy with
it. Yeah, yeah. And we have done it for a few years. And it comes in and then it goes out and comes in and goes out. So I've got like a standing order with the guy that I get it through. And I'm just waiting for him to say, yes, it's available. And then I'll get again. But at the moment, it's not. So, yeah, a little bit frustrating, but you know it is what it is. Yeah,
it does happen.
Yeah,
you know.
But you know, if you don't want to go with the oak chip, then we've definitely got the wood chip, and
the wood chip works.
The wood chip is perfect.
It's, so you know, it's not that whatever you're saying doesn't work; it does work.
No, it does does what it's supposed to do. And then we've talked about it before, but the rooibos mulch.
Yes.
The rooibos mulch.
I've heard you talk to David about the rooibos.
Yeah. The rooibos mulch is good because also the snails don't like traveling over it. So in your veggie, if you've got like a little veggie box or something like that, using the rooibos mulch, even though it is a little bit more expensive to do, it has that dual purpose because of the snails.
Yes.
And that's the very frustrating thing. You're growing some nice veggie, some spinach or something, and then you come outside and it's got all holes in it or something because, you know, the snails have been at a party.
Yes.
The same thing with, like, maybe strawberries or, you know, the snails. As soon as you get a snail, it starts eating on half a strawberry, then that strawberry's done.
Yes.
So that's very frustrating. But, yeah, it's the watering because – definitely the wind and the sun, and it's all here. It's almost summer. You know, it's crazy.
Yes, we're not going to put a spell on it. It's almost summer.
It's almost summer. It's a bit weird. We had this, you know, the strange wind and then the clouds and everything this weekend. But, yeah, no, it's coming.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Okay.
I'm a summer girl.
Yeah, I'm not so fond of the heat, but... You know, it comes around and then it disappears again. So it's just part of the deal. Cape Town.
There we go.
Yeah, so we talked about the mulching.
Yes.
Can always do some fertilizing. The plants are needing nutrients in the soil. So just general, you don't want to go too crazy because then it pushes out, you know, too much new growth and then maybe some pests will come through. But, you know, just a general... We've got those chicken manure pellets, you know, the all-purpose, I think it's called. And we've also got a new product, a guano pellet, which is also good. So the all-purpose, the chicken manure is chicken manure, and it's processed and then pelletized. And then we've also got a guano. We talked about this before. I remember you didn't know what the guano was.
No, I didn't know. And I think there might be new listeners, so explain.
So guano is from like seabirds. And... yeah, so I can't remember where they have these big – they have these like big platforms out the west coast, and that's where all the seabirds land. So they build this platform just off the shore, and the seabirds all land on this, and then what they do is they come and then they scrape the platform and then take that to a processing plant or compost it and then shred it up and then pelletize it. And that's the guano pellet.
I know you had a good laugh at me because my face said it all.
Yeah, the poop.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's the process of the seabird guano. And yes, it's full of nutrients, and obviously a guano, a manure is always good. So the chicken manure, the guano, the even the cow manure, all of those are going to have some nutrients and some life in it. So adding any of those to your soil is going to stimulate.
So this is the time to purchase now.
Yes.
All these, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, the guanos and the chicken manures and the other manures, they're not potent in terms of fertilizer. They don't have high nitrogen or something like that. That's going to burn or push the. I mean, if it's fresh, then it's going to have the urea in it. So you don't want to use fresh horse manure. Sometimes people say, oh, I got the horse manure from the horse farms. And I'm like, you know, you got to be careful with that because it hasn't been composted. It hasn't gone through the composting process where the sort of ureas and stuff will be leached out. Because if you use straight horse manure, you know, fresh, it's going to have that urea, which is going to burn.
Yeah.
And that's what you don't want. You don't want to just... No.
And you have to be careful because you get these buckies that come into your village, and they sell. And we've got horse manure, so there you need to be careful there too. Because while I'm saying that, we had this weekend.
Did you have some this weekend?
Yes, they were coming with the bucky land. It didn't come as far as the heights up where we were, but at the lower part. But, of course, we've got neighbors, so they were warning everybody.
Warning every don't buy know, don't any buy, of the...
Yeah, we're not allowed in the, you know, in the heights.
So it's either some sort of topsoil in the back of the bucky. I'm talking generally now.
But it smells. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying either they're selling topsoil, they're selling some sort of manure, which is probably a horse manure, but very fresh. The topsoil is like sand, so you don't even want to go there. And then the other option is that they've got some extra tar that they've got in their bucky, and they want to help maybe tar your driveway.
Yes, that's right. You actually
And then I heard of another one where they had some special resin stone that they were going to put down for someone. It was the northern suburbs, but you know, you pick up these things where where they said that they were going to come and put down a stone layer, and then they were going to come and pump this resin on top of it, and it would make it like a solid stone patch. Yes. And then the customer said, or the scam victim said that they came and they put down stone, and they paid them some exorbitant amount, and then the guy said, "Oh no, I've just got to go and fetch something," and then they never see them again. So they paid like 100 times the price of what a stone would be.
You've got to look out for the scams, and they are there, you know.
Yes. So,
and we need to know this, because when you mentioned fresh horse manure, I mean, we wouldn't know this. So it's, you know, I'm glad that you've actually made mention.
Yeah, you've got to be so careful. A fresh horse manure, never mind the burning that could happen because of the intense urea.
Yes.
But the other thing is that because it hasn't been processed in a composting process, there are going to be weed seeds in there in the poop as well. And those weed seeds are still viable. Because that's how, you know, that's how things actually work.
Yes.
Where it goes through the front end and comes out the back end.
That's right.
And then because it's got the seed is now there with the poop around it, it's like this perfect environment for that plant to grow. And that's how nature's done it for millennia.
For many years.
Yes.
For zillions.
Exactly. So the idea behind fresh manure is it's nice, and maybe you want to just freshen up your garden, but you're taking a chance because you're obviously introducing the burning possibility, but then also you're introducing the weed seeds or any other seeds that could be in there.
And then once it's happened, it's too late.
It's too late.
You know, then they've got to make their way to you, and it's too late, because how do you survive it, you know?
Well, you've put it over your grass, then you have to wait until everything is germinating and growing properly, and then you can zap it with one of those, like a broadleaf weed killer. But if they've got other funny grasses in there, then you've got a mixed grass forever, unfortunately, unless you pull them out. So you're taking a chance.
Now, this was a good tip.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I definitely recommend buying stuff that's already, you know, in a bag. It's because it's gone through the process of composting.
Yes.
And it's got to that certain temperature, and the weed seeds have been deactivated because they, you know, it's got over 80 degrees or whatever the compost piles get to. But it's sterilized because of that. And then also, yeah, as I said, the burning, the urea is leached out, and it's not as potent.
Yeah. And of course, you sprinkle this. You don't sort of cover. You don't cover the whole area.
Yeah, these fertilizers and stuff, they go far.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, usually with the guanos and stuff, it's like 100 grams a square meter.
Okay.
So your 10 kg does a large area. I can't work it out right now.
Do that for next time.
Yeah, I think it's 100 square meters. But it even goes down. I know that I'm just thinking now, the 5 kg all-purpose says covers 100 square meters. So that means that you're only using 50 grams a square meter. So that's like a tight handful
per square meter. And you just sprinkle.
Yeah, you just sprinkle it over. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I know some of us overdo it. We've got a heavy hand, and sometimes we just
overdo exactly. It. And then it's just, it's not, I mean, it's wasted, but it's not wasted. It's still going to be there. But I've said before, like, there are already nutrients in the soil, and the plants take in those nutrients. And then you are now supplementing your nutrients.
They take what they need.
Yeah.
And the rest is waste.
And the waste, the rest either sits there if it's not soluble. And if it's a soluble nutrient, then it's going to be washed away. And then if your soil life is also not, you know, good.
We have, keep talking.
Yeah, so if your soil life is maybe a little bit, dead, and a lot of our sandy soils have quite dead soil. So, you know, using the compost and conditioning with that, it's also beneficial, because then it means that all the good chochos and things are in there. And then that means that when you do fertilize, it does get worked into the soil and makes it available for the plants a longer period of time. Have you got a message?
Have you got a message from David? And he says, keep talking, Jeremy. Good morning, David.
Hey, guys. I just want to say, good show. I'm listening. I'm sorry I couldn't be there today. But I appreciate you both standing in. Jeremy, you rock. And good show. Luck, guys.
Thank you, David. David. We miss you. David, you're putting me on the spot.
Got to do the work.
Yes.
Yeah, well, so it's, I mean, it's an exciting time in the garden as well, because, or especially in the garden center, because people come in and it is just a blast of color. If you come into the nursery now, you just like, it's a, one of those like kaleidoscopes of things. Well, you think you maybe...
Michael and his daughter, as I said, they were there on, I think, Saturday morning or Friday.
Okay. Yeah.
And he said it was amazing. You know? Yes. And as I said, they did purchase, funny enough, fertilizers and all that.
Okay.
I couldn't remember the name, but that's what they did.
Yes.
And also lots of plants. He said it was so colorful.
Yes. Well, that's what's so exciting, because everything is looking really good.
Yes.
And that's what... you know, often people just need that little bright, bright bit of sunshine coming from some bright colors, and hopefully that also translates into them taking some home and brightening up their own spaces. And that's.
I think ours is different because we're on the mountain.
Yeah.
Right on the mountain.
Yeah.
So, but Michael seems to know. He knows kind of what you know
what works.
Then his daughter's got a lovely garden here. You know,
okay.
On the corner,
okay.
And it looks beautiful. So they seem to know what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they've asked you a few questions.
Yeah, it's sometimes trial and error. I've said that many times in this area. It's sometimes trial and error, and sometimes you get it right, and sometimes you don't, unfortunately. But it is just part of the you know, being a gardener and being, you know.
And you need to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Not like me. You know, I love a beautiful garden, but don't ask me to put the gloves on and get going.
All right.
You know? But I love a beautiful garden.
Yeah, that's always exciting. I was going to say that, I don't know if we, the last time I was here, did we talk about the Nordic Open Gardens?
No, I don't think you did. So I don't know if we cover that now.
It was a few weeks ago, the Nordic Open
Garden.
That's
right, it was.
And I didn't manage to get to a lot of gardens, but I did see some gardens that I hadn't seen before. And that was pretty exciting. There was one... The one main one that was I think on the first time this year was up on, you know, off Sea Cottage Drive.
Yes.
And it's got a beautiful view of the sea and everything like that. And the garden was divided into like almost rooms. And that was quite special.
Wow.
Because you've got one section that's like a pond and an area, and then you've got like a fynbos section, and then
well
you've got
thought out.
Yes. Very well planned, and then as you go around the house, it's got different things, and like there was a very special outdoor shower, but it was actually like almost a room in itself, just because it had these special walls and then all the plants growing inside, and that was pretty special. And then it had the veggie area, and it had the pool, like the pool garden with waterfall kind of thing going on. So that was pretty special. And then
how long does it take
to establish a garden?
To establish a garden like that?
Yeah, well, there's quite a few factors involved. I think this is quite a new garden, and I think if you've got some money, then you can establish a garden quite quickly, because it means that you can buy things a little bit bigger.
Yes.
So you can't, you know, make a garden very looks established extremely fast, but you know, over 1 or 2 years, 3 years, you can get something looking really established, because you start with things that are a little bit bigger.
Yes,
but that shouldn't be everyone's timeline.
Yeah,
you know,
and every garden's unique.
Definitely,
every garden's unique.
Yeah.
You know, but this one stood out.
That did it did stand out. I mean, a lot of the gardens on the Nordic Open Gardens stand out. They're all very good gardens, but I try to get to the ones that I haven't seen before.
Yes.
Often with family, we've got limited time. So that was just one that we managed to get to. But
how many houses?
I think there were 18 this year, or 17.
That's a lot of homes.
Yes.
With beautiful gardens.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, you've got to make a thing of it. It's ideally you want to be able to get the weekend pass and then go on the Saturday and the Sunday, because some of the gardens are not on both days.
Oh.
So they're only on a Saturday and only on a Sunday.
Sunday.
Some of them are both days, and then that's easy if you can only make one day. But you can't see everything unless you had a weekend pass. So, but yeah, it's all for a good cause. On the Verge. Kathy's so busy with that.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She is absolutely amazing. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, very, very much a driving force there. So, Yeah. And then my uncle was involved in the Elgin Open Gardens these past two weekends. My kids were sick this weekend, and we were planning to go, and then we couldn't get there. Which
are they better now?
Yes.
Are they better now?
They were out of school for a few days last week. Leading up to the weekend, we thought, oh, are we going to make it?
There's so many bugs going around. Terrible, you know. Shame.
Yeah, we were going to hoping that my son wouldn't have to have the antibiotics, but it just was hanging on for days. And it was like, oh, no, we have to pull the trigger on that. But
so you missed the garden.
We missed it going out to Elgin, yeah. So that was disappointing because that's always, you know, it's a different world that side.
Yes, it is.
It's a different environment, totally different environment. But yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, time has run out.
The time has didn't get through much of what to do in November, but I think we talked about enough.
I think we covered a lot because as what else can you do with this wind? Because when does the wind start dropping? I mean, this is like
you're talking about Cape Town.
Cape Town, yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're talking about the South Peninsula of Cape Town.
We did cover the most important.
Is mulch.
And that is so important. So, exactly. Jeremy, anything else you want to share before you say goodbye?
No, I think just, if you need anything, come and visit us at Harry Kumar's.
And as Jeremy said, it looks beautiful. It's colorful. And my husband actually seconded that. So, yes.
Awesome. Right.
Jeremy, thanks for coming in. David, we missed you. David's sending us icons, laughing icons.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you'll be back in 2 weeks' time, right?
Yes.
So, right. Have a licker day.
Thank you.
Jeremy.
You too.
Bye.
Cheers.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.